is going on the blitz. I do that kind of work in my office at home. I do a lot of things here at the church, but I like to put my sermons and things together in my office at home. I've just gotten accustomed to that, used to it. And so we just couldn't do it like we needed to do it. Praise God. But that is in the process of being fixed as well. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, but I hate the devil. Praise God. Well, what is this? Holiness number 4, I think. Yeah, okay. That's what it is. If you don't know, I don't know. We don't know. We're going to go to the Word of God many times tonight. And so we don't necessarily have just a jumping off scripture. But we're going to discuss several things here this evening. And in the area of holiness. And it's been a good journey the last few weeks. And I appreciate your being here and learning with us and growing with us. Amen. Spirit of God is all about holiness. And through the process of time, man has made his own religion and has followed in the footsteps of his flesh. And many religions and many areas of religion have gone back on the issue of holiness, even today. People will not do things according to the Word of God because they don't want to. I don't want to stand before God and say I didn't do that because I didn't want to. Amen. And so it is imperative, it is paramount that we get a knowledge of the Scripture, of the Word of God. And I don't want to perish for lack of knowledge when the knowledge is right before me in the Word of God. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to us tonight and say, humble yourselves before the Lord and seek Him while He may be found. For there will come a time when He will not be able to be found. The presence of the Lord will be here forever. But forgiveness will not. Because time, as you and I know it, has got to come to an end. And then eternity has got to begin. That is when it's too late to find repentance and to seek the Lord. So we have preachers, we have pastors, we have teachers, we have the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. So let us open our hearts and our minds to this particular subject. For next week, it will be another subject. Amen? Praise God. Lord, help us. God, speak through us. Minister to the hearts and lives of your people tonight. Charge, challenge, and change us. Make us to be what we've never been before in the mighty name of the Lord. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated just now. An outward standard of holiness was the first thing to go in the great falling away of the latter first century. In other words, the first thing that fell when things started falling after the original apostles have died and gone was holiness. But the tide of change did not stop with the issue of holiness. Holiness, or the falling away of holiness, was soon followed by true repentance. There are people that can say, I'm sorry, and not really mean that they are sorry. Not truly be sorry. And so true repentance fell along the wayside. It was soon followed by water baptism, by immersion in Jesus' name. And then speaking in tongues fell by the wayside. While there's some denominations today that will preach behind their pulpits any given Sunday that speaking in tongues is of the devil. That's how far men have gotten from the knowledge and the understanding of the Word of God. The gifts of the Spirit are gone in some religious areas. And then another thing that has fallen drastically is the oneness of this precious Godhead. And we do not want to see these things falter We don't want to see them stumble, and we don't want to see them fail at Landmark. Somebody said the only way that one of the greatest ways to lose your holiness, whether it be inward and outward, or your truth ministry, the doctrine, is you don't have to get up behind a pulpit and say we're not going to preach holiness anymore, or we're not going to preach baptism in Jesus' name anymore. You don't have to announce that. The way to get rid of it is just never preach it again. Just never mention it. And it will go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to let it go. Because it is something that the Spirit of God has given us. It is a mandate in the Word of the Lord. And we are not only interested in holiness, but we're chasing it. We chase after it. Praise God. As the elder apostles died one by one, leaders with smaller visions and weaker convictions stepped in and subtly altered their message. In the words of the prophet, Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 and 14, Brother Tyre, why don't you get that for us? In Isaiah 59, 14, hear the word of the Lord. When Isaiah said, truth had fallen in the street, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In other words, equity means gain. There is nothing to gain because judgment is turned backwards. There's people that will hear me tonight and judge me for what I preach and say, I don't believe that. When it ought to be, he's preaching the Word of God. I need to believe that. But the Bible said it will be turned backward. And then justice will stand afar off, because there's no justice in false doctrine. And then there's no equity. There will be nothing to gain from God, because God will not be in it. And so hear the word of God from the prophet of God, Isaiah, in fact, when he said truth will be fallen in the street. It was only much later, as gross doctrinal errors took root in the church and propelled her, or the church, into the dark ages, did it become apparent just how much was lost when the holiness lifestyle was abandoned. We're privileged. We are very privileged to live during the time that the Bible calls the latter rain, when truth has been restored and God's Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh. But let me sound a note of caution and say that, now we could get deep into the Nicolaitans, a people that neglected the Word of God and turned to their own way and began to create a religion that was much like that of Balaam. And we can say that they are once again rising among the apostolics. You see, we let one little standard go for our own convenience or our lifestyle or, quote unquote, our good looks. And then the next generation comes along, and they are not only letting the one you let go, but they choose another one for themselves. And then another generation comes. And then eventually you have a generation where the Bible says the blind are leading the blind, and they're both falling into a ditch. And then you get a preacher like this preacher tonight standing up saying things like I'm getting ready to say, and people looking at him like he is silly. Because there's been so much falling away. And so these Nicolaitans, they compromised the message, and they came against the non-negotiable principles of the Scripture for personal convenience and social acceptance. And they are surrendering holiness because it's too burdensome, and laying truth to rest in the cold grave of tolerance because it's too exclusive and it's too inflammatory. They have massacred the Scripture, maligned the apostles, mortified their Creator with their shoddy scholarship and their loose living. Little wonder that the Scripture says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Holiness must be pursued. For only when we wholeheartedly turn to your neighbor and say, that means giving it everything you got. When we wholeheartedly run after Jesus, can we wholeheartedly run away from the world? Because if you're not giving Jesus your whole heart, you're hanging on to a piece of the world. Change God's word if you want to, but I can't. Make it convenient to the flesh, but I can't. I can only be eternally thankful that the word of God has changed me. Hello? Now I'm getting ready to ask an usher to go get me another bottle of water, but don't get scared. I'll finish it in my car on the way home. Brother Tyre, Psalms 29 and verse number 2. What we're talking about tonight is we're going to talk about seven holiness principles. And we're going to launch with the scripture talking about the beauty of holiness. Somebody shout, the beauty of holiness. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. I want you to say holiness. I want you to believe holiness until holiness becomes beautiful to you. It's already beautiful to God, but it needs to become beautiful to you and I. Amen. We cannot acquiesce. We cannot lay it down. We cannot let it go. We cannot shut it up. We cannot stifle it. Amen. I'm not going to preach holiness in a closet to a handful of people. Amen. Holiness needs to be taught to this generation because this generation needs holiness. And so we hunger and we thirst for the wonderful things of the Lord. Psalms 29, verse number 2. Let me just simply say that holiness is not sloppiness. You know, well, we don't wear rings no more. We don't wear jewelry. We don't do makeup anymore. So that doesn't mean you let yourself go either. Amen? There are natural ways that we can beautify the body. Amen. And for those of us, myself included, that have the tendency to suffer from Dunlop, that's when your belly done lopped over your belt. There's things that you can do to get it back where it's supposed to be. And I'm telling you right now, there ain't enough wigs in America that can make my belly look better. Hello? There ain't enough nose piercings. There ain't enough tongue studs to make me make my belly shrink. I couldn't put enough silver and gold on my face to make you not look at my belly when it's out there like that. Hey, and if it's going to be out there, leave it. And you can't get, hey, leave it. That's natural, man. Praise God. Eat another hot dog if you want to. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. There's a little profit in bodily exercise. Not much, but there's a little. And I think the reason why is because we don't do it long enough. Man, we're going to go and turn into Hercules, and about 6 weeks later, we forgot where the place is. Snap, what does that mean? And so, but we need to understand that there are natural things that we can do. Women, you know, their skin care, and don't let me get into it because I don't know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Now, we're not going to talk about the hair issue that deep tonight because we already have. Some of you were not here. You missed it. And I hope that you're here when it comes around again. But give unto the Lord the what? Give God what? Women, what did he say your hair was? What kind of hair? Uncut hair. You cut your hair, you cannot give God the glory that is due unto Him. And then the Bible says it's beautiful because He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's give God the beauty that He... Let's give God what He calls beauty. Let's give God what He calls glory. I'm telling you, if you've never done this, you have not stepped into a dimension that others have. And once you do this and step into that dimension, you'll never look back again. Amen. So holiness is not sloppiness. It's not just letting yourself go. Amen. It is still caring for yourself, and nurturing yourself, and eating properly, sleeping properly, and drinking things that are healthy, not drinking things, doing your best to stay away from things that are not healthy, and preserving the body, and keeping it holy and healthy for the glory of God. Amen? We're going to talk about seven principles tonight. Again, don't get scared. They're very short principles, but we're going to talk about them tonight since our mind is really on principle right now. Hallelujah. Holiness involves both the negative concept of separation. I say negative because many of us view holiness in a negative regard. And holiness does take away things. It takes away ungodliness. That's a negative. When things are being taken away, that's a negative. But we need to look at the things that are being taken away. It thrilled me, Brother Harrison, you and I together, when God took away my cigarettes. And for those of you that are new, understand that wasn't yesterday. Don't get scared. But it thrilled me when God took away my cussing tongue. And there was a negative there, but that negative was good. He took away my desire for the party life. He took away my desire for drugs. He took away, come on, don't compromise that. We cannot walk hand in hand with God and be a drug addict. Amen. Don't use the excuse prescription, but come on, come out of that. Amen. Let that unclean thing go and let us serve the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands without doubt, without wrath. Amen. Brother Barnhill told us that the biggest paying jobs in his city was street pharmaceuticals. That's scary. And I do believe that there are more drug addicts that get it legally than there are that get it illegally. Because there's such an excuse to do it. And such reasoning. But we need to understand, we need to separate ourselves. There are things that holiness will take away out of our lives. But if we would just settle down and look at those things that it takes away, we would say, hey, that's not so negative. But in reality, it is a negative. And then there is the positive concept of dedication. In other words, ladies, men, women, young people, there are things that I can give God that are positive. In other words, when you give something, you're adding something to that thing or that person. And that's a positive when you add something. Amen. We have to jump our battery sometimes because we need somebody to come by and give us some juice. That's the positive. We need an input. And so when we give God what He wants from us, that's a positive. Are you with me tonight? Amen. If I give God what He asked of me as a man living for the Lord, then I know that He is going to give to me. Incidentally, on the negative side, the things that He takes away, hear me tonight. When God takes something away, He replaces it with something 1,000 times better. I've seen people come to God and give Him their lives. Really, I mean truly give Him their lives. And He took away their homelessness. I've seen them come to God and they find happy marriages. Amen. How many of you are looking to the future? How many of you are truly looking for to the future and living for God? Well, would you do me a favor and let go of the past? Stop dragging that chain of torment. Stop dragging that chain of negativity and be negative and let it go. Amen. So that you can be positive and give God what He deserves. He deserves a positive attitude. Amen. You need to wake up in the morning saying, Lord, I know what's on the horizon. Somebody's already told me that what's bad. But I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. All things are good. All things can turn out great. All things are going to work together. If you'd spend your time saying those things and giving those things to God, He can spend His time lifting you up. But when we withhold and when we refrain and refuse to give God those things that are glorious, those things that He deems beautiful and wonderful, then we cannot have all that we need. I'm talking about not only blessing, but I'm talking about provision. You know, we need to seek provision more so than we seek blessing. We need to understand it's just a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. Because in being here through the Word of God, He's going to give me provision. He's going to provide for me. And we need God to provide for us. But there's some provisions that we need to give Him to access and accelerate His glory and His blessings to us. You know what preacher's trying to say? He's just simply trying to say, let's just go all the way. What's the point in going halfway? What's the point in going three quarters of the way when we can go all of the way? Amen? 2 Corinthians 6:17 and chapter number 7, verse 1. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the pastor. Hello? Saith the Lord. He told us in verse 17, touch not the unclean thing. What is that? Anything that's unclean. And then He said, and I will receive you. Ladies and gentlemen, I just don't know what your opinion is, but I live for that. I live to be a recipient and to receive from God. Verse 18, He said, I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the pastor. No, the Lord Almighty. Chapter number 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Some of us are waiting, I guess, for the Lord to say, stop trimming it. Stop painting it. Stop covering it. Glitter and gold. It's not going to make it beautiful. We're waiting on God to snatch that from us. Take that away. An audible voice, put those scissors down. Well, here it is right here. Here's the voice of God. Here's the voice of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Don't wait for God to do it. If He does it, then you're just a robot that He can push a button and you move this way, then you move that way, and then you move this way. He don't want robots. He had robots at the beginning. They were angels. They were created to do whatever He told them to do. And that didn't even work because a third of them rebelled against Him. Now what does He want? He wants a people that just want to do it. He wants a people that will just live it. A people that will wake up and say, I will not touch the unclean things. I will not touch the unclean things. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting. Thank you, Lord, for putting the ing on that, because this is something that we've got to work on every day. And not everybody's on the same page. And that's where the church has got to have some patience. Hello? We had patience with you, and you need to have patience with others. And we're gonna work this race out with patience. But we are going to continue with the perfecting of holiness in the fear or reverence and love and honor to God. Amen. Number two, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by works. But we are saved unto works. Amen. Somebody said, you don't have to work to be saved, but after you're saved, it's time to go to work. Right? Amen. And when we go to work, when we go into these jails, when we go into these retirement centers, when we give out the Panera Bread, or when we teach Sunday school, or when we sing on the platform, or preach behind the pulpit, what we usher, whatever we do, we need to do that in a way that it is an example of the Word of God to the people that we're influencing. Because when you have compromise teaching the Word of God, when you have rebellion pushing the Word of God, the people that you win are going to be full of compromise, or they're going to be full of rebellion. We create ourselves in other people. And so I want to lay myself on the altar to become more like Jesus, so that when I create something, I want to create something that's like Him. That's holiness. We're not saved by works, but we are saved unto works. Ephesians 2 and 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we can do nothing to obtain the Bible salvation except what the Bible tells us to, of course, to repent and to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then He would fill us with the Holy Ghost. All we can do is be obedient to the Word of God. There's not a work on this earth that we could perform. There's not a skill that we can learn to the point that we deserve grace or God's unmerited favor. And He said, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not a soul in here, from me to you, that can boast of the fact that I'm saved because of what I've done or who I am. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. In other words, we are saved because He crafted it that way. We're created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is them? Good works. Amen. Hallelujah. James 2, 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, the Bible says, it is dead. It's dead. Being alone. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The last place you want to be in these last days is alone. Amen. We need one another. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And so we are to gather around those that are weaker and encourage them and strengthen them and pray for them and lift them up, because there will come a day when you will become that weakest link. And you'll be glad you did what you did, because then we'll be gathering around you. Amen? And so we need to understand, even so faith, if it doesn't have any works, it's dead faith, being alone. Yea, verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But the Bible says, show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. In other words, if you have faith, it's going to show in your life. If you depend on Jesus Christ, it's going to show through your obedience to the Word of God. And people will see the light in you. Number three, holiness is not a means of earning salvation. holiness is not a means of earning salvation, but a result of experiencing it. It's not a means of earning salvation. That's when it becomes legalism. People saying, my dress is long enough and that makes me saved. That's not true. Your dress is long enough because that's a result of Bible salvation. That's a result of something that God gave you that you didn't deserve. Hello? You live in holiness tonight because you've received something from God. It's not a means of earning salvation. It's the result of the experience of salvation. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 8. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We couldn't do enough righteousness. We couldn't live righteous enough to be saved. But according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration. Somebody shout, regeneration. Regeneration is reforming that generation. And if there's a generation that needs reforming, hello. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewing what the Lord did in its beginning. In other words, going back to what the apostles preached. From the time of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We cannot destroy what our forefathers have died for in this generation. Amen. According to His mercy, He saved us. Washing, generation, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. Wow, we need to pay attention when the Bible says that. This is a faithful saying. In other words, hear me. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. When you see holiness in the Word of God, especially those areas that you're having trouble with because of carnality or your flesh or whatever reason, those areas that you're having trouble with, amen. We need to understand when we submit those to God that that will be profitable to us. You say, I don't see it. It wasn't meant for you to see it until you do it. Because then it's not, it's faith. Amen. Number 4, God demands an external witness of our internal holiness. Ladies, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, did He put the glory of God in you? Don't frighten me now. Did He? Absolutely. Well, then there's a way that we can show forth the glory of God on the outside. God demands an external witness of our internal holiness. Matthew 5:16. Let's look at that tonight. When the Word of the Lord says so, that means that there is emphasis put on that particular body of words. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. In other words, He's saying there's a way that I want you to let it shine. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know why, Brother Farrell? I tell you what they're going to do to you and me. They're going to come up and say, why do you do that? When they see your good works, they're going to say, why do you live like that? And then we get another golden opportunity to witness one more time about the goodness of God. Amen. And glorify, and they will come to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate the Word of the Lord tonight because it gives me direction and it gives me guidance. And He said that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father. It goes without saying that external compliance is worthless before God unless there is also an internal reality of holiness. Amen? Praise God. I'd almost rather people to dress ungodly and act ungodly until they get it on the inside. and let it come from the inside out. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number five, God gives us three holiness teachers to show us how to live a life that pleases Him. He gives us three holiness teachers to show us how to live a life that pleases Him. The supreme source of holiness teaching, number one, is the Bible itself. Don't wait for a phone call when it says it right there in the Scripture. The supreme source of holiness teaching is in the Bible itself. Therefore, a holiness standard must either be a specific biblical statement or valid application of a biblical principle. Number two, God has also given us spiritual leadership. Amen? God has given us spiritual leadership within the church to help us apply biblical principles to the situations we encounter in our contemporary lives. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll read real quickly here verses 11 through 16. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. He wants everybody in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. Here's what we're after, ladies and gentlemen. We are after the fullness of Christ. We want everything He's got, that we may henceforth be no more children. In other words, we're not going to be acting like children anymore, tossed to and fro, here and there and everywhere, saying this, doing that, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. You see, He's talking about the body, not just your heart, not just your spirit. He's talking about the body. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So there's spiritual leadership for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Praise God. You're not going to find in the Word of God that we need to let T-ball and football and baseball and NASCAR and rodeo and hunting and fishing and all these things become our second God, because there was not a lot of these things when the Bible was written. And that's why God has given us leadership in these profitable American days, so they can try and look through all of this haze and all of these things that are trying to captivate our minds and capture our hearts and capture our spirits, and understand that it's not the joy of these things, it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Amen? God's given us spiritual leaders. Finally, the Holy Ghost. Everybody shout, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. Spirit of God in John 14:26 teaches us directly through internal promptings and convictions, if we will listen. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you what? All things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, here's the key right here. Bringing all things to remembrance, In other words, the things that have already been said in the Word of God. All the Holy Ghost is going to tell you is what is already in the Word of God. He's going to bring it to your remembrance. Whatsoever, that means everything, I have said unto you. Amen. So we have the Bible. We have spiritual authority in the church, leadership. We have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our three holiness teachers work together and complement one another. But the Bible is our final authority. God does not give human beings the right to change His message, nor will the indwelling Spirit of God speak contrary to the written Word He Himself has inspired. Amen? The Bible teaches us three kinds of holiness standards. Number six, the Bible teaches us three kinds of holiness standards. And we're nearly done here tonight. These are the three kinds of holiness standards that God expects every mature Christian to adhere to. Some Christians are young, and again, we have patience. Amen? Praise God. And so let us look at these holiness standards. Number one, of course, is Bible standards. These are explicitly commanded in Scripture and demand obedience. Not me. I'm talking about the Word of God. These are Bible standards. And the Lord, if it's in the Word of God, then it demands immediate obedience. And then there are church standards. You're going to have church standards because there are different cultures everywhere. There are different ways of living everywhere. There are different, nowadays there's different gods everywhere. Hello? Amen. We may have to serve a president that doesn't even believe in putting his hand over his chest with the American flag. And you know what? He can look at me and say, there's no Bible for it. No, but there's a standard. There is a, that flag is our American standard. That flag is our banner. And you may have come from a Muslim nation, but the reason you came is because your God didn't work for you over there. You came over here where there's a God that's working. And if you're going to be over here, then you need to acquiesce to what we are. Don't make us bend to what you are. Color, creed, nationality, none of that have anything to do with it. I promise you. Amen. But when it comes to you escorting me away from my God and my country, you may as well try to separate me from my family. This is where I was born. This is where I was raised. This is where men gave their life's blood on the ground for me. Amen. And so there are national standards. And there's going to be church standards. And these are established by spiritual leadership to deal with practical application of Scripture principles in modern situations, and are usually understood and implemented gradually as a believer matures. I wasn't going to go this deep tonight, but can I give you one of those church standards? And I'm very careful to let you know that what I'm getting ready to say when I say these things, that we're not coming necessarily from the Scripture, but we're coming in a way that we know that ultimately God's going to get the glory for it. And we're going to make it a church standard, or sometimes we make leadership standards. Right? Amen. Many years ago in coming to Landmark, I asked our men to shave. Now don't get upset at me. I asked them. I didn't demand anything. And if someone were to say why, I would simply say, because all the way back from the 60s, it has represented rebellion, and it has represented hiding something and disguising something. People that rob banks for a living, after they've realized that they've been videoed, the first thing they want to do is grow a beard and mustache and cover all of that up. But I'm not saying you're a bank robber here tonight. one of the main reasons that we still teach this and share this and that, you know, I just want neatness. I just want open-facedness. I just want one of the very few things that men have to do. I don't want the women to have to do everything. And then again, now I wish Brother Brown was here because I'm going to pick on him. He called and they had an emergency in Hickory with a part of the family and they had to go there to the hospital. But Brother Brown, when Brother Brown came to our church, he was a big tall man like he is right now. He was a little more square-shouldered and a little more narrow at the waist. But Dunlop exists, I'm telling you. And he came in, and when he came in, he looked like a lumberjack. I'm telling you, man, it was just... it was everywhere. We didn't separate Brother Brown from the rest of the crowd. We didn't abuse him because he had beard and mustache and all of this. And man, Brother Brown, he was baptized, got the Holy Ghost right off the bat. But he looked for that another 3 years probably. And, you know, finally, I don't know whether it be the Holy Ghost. Paul said whether it was the third heaven or not, I don't know. But I was praying around there at the altar, and I said, Brother Brown, I said, as your pastor, I'm just asking you to share. And so we just sat there and talked, and I said, you're a good man. You're a godly man. You're a Christian. And I said, you go with us to conferences. You go with us to these meetings. And just to be honest, Brother Brown, I'm tired of people looking at you like you're a new convert. You're not a new convert. You're one of the men of God here at Landmark. And I just want you to show that sign. He said, Pastor, no problem. He shaved, put it in a bag, and brought it to church and gave it to somebody. And it's just something that's asked. Amen. You'd say, my God, if the rapture took place right now before I got home to my razor, would I? No, absolutely not. You see what I'm saying here? There are church things. Every church has things. Every church has stuff. And that's just an example. And there'll be other things that we talk about as we preach and as they come out. And you'll say, wow, I never knew that. Well, that's fine. Amen. We didn't feel there was no emergency and no crises going on. That's why we didn't run to you and tell you. Amen. You're accepted. Man, we love you. We want you in here. Praise God. We want you to be a part. Amen. And so, you know, you cannot get a job with Disney if you don't shave. You can't. And you can't get a job at UPS if you don't shave. And I figured, my Lord, if these great people can ask for it, why can't Pastor? I believe, unless they've changed their rules, it was years ago that IBM would not hire people with facial hair. They said that they don't want their men to look like that they're hiding something. For whatever it's worth. Amen. Appearances. We want our appearances to be open. In the Word of God, we don't have to go there, but in Genesis 41 and 14, the Bible says that Joseph was there in prison, and the king, Pharaoh, he called for him. And when he called for him, Joseph said, wait a minute. And so he changed his clothes and he shaved because he had an audience with the king. I'm not going to use that and say, bless God, you're going to hell if you don't shave. But I will use that to show you that even Joseph, way back in the Old Testament, felt like that if he shaved, he'd be neat and clean. Amen. And, you know, we want to get on to the ladies for wanting to look like this one in a magazine and wanting to look like that one and cut and feather their hair and color their hair and do all this to look like that one, when there's a few baseball players out there that's got our nation's men trying to look like him. And there's some rappers out there that's got our young men wanting to look like him. There's country music stars out there that's got some of our men wanting to look like him. And I believe that we can just give it all to God and live for the Lord and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not here trying to empty the church. I'm just trying to teach to you that there's Bible standards, and then there's church standards, and then there's personal standards. Personal standards. These are prompted by the Holy Spirit in individual lives due to the unique background of each believer, and may have no relevance to any other believer in the house of God. It's fine to have personal standards, but if we're not teaching them, don't push them. Leave that for the pulpit. Amen? Praise God. We teach that a wedding band can be worn, and a wristwatch can be worn, because one tells the time, one tells everybody you're married. And if you believe a wedding band's not appropriate, don't wear it. If you believe that a watch is inappropriate, please don't wear it. But don't push it, because you'll cause confusion. You're not the pastor, and you're not leadership, and you're not biblical authority in this church. Am I making sense? Praise God. Now take a note tonight. Holiness standards are not the central part of holiness. I'm not belittling holiness standards. I just spent some 30 minutes teaching how great they are. But holiness standards are not the central part of holiness. The central part of holiness is that internal work of God's Spirit. However, holiness standards are an external sign that something authentic, something marvelous, an authentic work of salvation and subsequent Christian maturity has taken place within me. And I want the world to see it. I'm not saying how much better I am than anybody. I just want the world to see what God has done. There's men and there's women that can go to work tomorrow, and your co-workers will look and say, something's different. And you can do that by taking a stand for holiness, godliness, cleanliness, purity. Number 7. Because holiness principles deal more with our creation than with our culture, God's Word emphasizes them differently for women and for men. Because holiness principles deal more with our creation than with our culture, God's Word emphasizes them differently for women and for men. The reason there seem to be more external standards for women is that God created men and women. Now, you're not going to believe this, but He created men and women differently. I know, even if that's not politically correct today, it's true. For example, men are stimulated by sight. This is why Jesus said, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Because men of the world cannot just glance at the woman. You don't want me to tell you what they do in their mind and in their eyes. But those that have come out of the world into a future with Jesus Christ understand exactly what I'm saying. And so men are stimulated by sight. In Matthew 5:28, let's look at that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." A man is always attracted to a woman physically before he is connected to her emotionally. before there was any relationship with this lady over here, I'm thinking in my mind, that is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. And I still do. And I was attracted to her physically. Men are attracted first physically. And then we become connected emotionally. But a man's always attracted to a woman physically before he's connected emotionally. That's why pornography is sold almost exclusively to men. Statistics tell us that even the majority of pornographic magazines published for women are actually purchased by homosexuals. Women, on the other hand, are stimulated by touch. That's why I've seen some of the ugliest men married to some of the most gorgeous women. It's because he knows how to touch. He knows how to say it. Hello? He knows what to do. And so women are stimulated by these things, either a physical touch or an emotional touch. That's why Paul gives a different command concerning women in 1 Corinthians 7 and 1. 1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Don't touch them if you don't want some emotion with it. Hello? Praise God. Amen. Don't go close to there. That's why I say when you shake your hand, don't hold on. Don't do that. You hold on a little too long, she's thinking, oh. When really you just forgot to let go. She'll go home and tell her husband, he held my hand longer than you ever had. I'm telling you, man, that heart thing, that emotion thing. And men do not have the answer to it because our brains cannot even function that direction. It's a long ways from Mars to Venus. And so they're stimulated this way. And that's why Paul gives that direction. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. So while a woman is commanded to appear, to look a certain way, so that the man is not affected, the man is commanded to act a certain way so that women are not affected. When a man speaks to a sister in the church and says hello, say hello, not hello. Because when you when you said it that way, Bo, you spoke volumes. You wrote a book. Well, he thinks, huh? And when you look at your sister in the church, just let it be a glance. Don't be going, because there goes volume three. And so, women, men are drawn to women by their appearance. And men are drawn to women by their touch, their words, and how they relate, body language, and thus and so. So I'm asking you, as your pastor, to continue, as we always have, to keep it holy. And remember, that is your sister, and that is your brother. And there shouldn't anybody in the world want to have a relationship with their brother or their sister. Let's stand together. Praise God. Honey, you probably have a song, but I wonder, you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me. by the hand. Brother Harris smiling at me. Man of God. Had that song on his mind. Guaranteed. But it's true. It is so true. We're going to fill these empty seats because you're my brother. You're my sister. We're going to go out of here in the rapture believing holiness. Whether every church in the world lets it go or not, that's irrelevant. I know what we're going to do, and you know what we're going to do. One of the main reasons that a backslidden son came back home is because he found himself eating the slop in the hog pen. And he said, "My father, in my father's house, I know what's going on at daddy's house. I know what's going on at my father's home." In other words, he knew that I can leave, but things are going to stay the same way they've always been at my father's house. You can backslide and you can come back 10 years from now, but it's going to be the same way it is tonight. Hallelujah. Because it's the word of Almighty God. And there's a principle in practice here. Amen. I feel unity here tonight. I feel unison. I feel everybody's together. And so let's sing this chorus of praise. Do you need some help, honey? We need some help. Where's our corral? Is there anybody out there that can help us? Hallelujah. Together. Until He comes. Hug your sister. Just ask them, take me by the hand. Together, we're going to work until He comes.